The Little Flower and the Pony. We have a little New Forest pony, and during June 1911, he had a violent attack of double pneumonia. The groom and the veterinarian surgeon stayed up with him one whole night. In the morning he was no better. About midday, the groom came and called me to go and see the poor little animal. He was trembling and quivering all over, and groaning with pain as he struggled for his breath. His poor little head was hanging quite down between his 4 feet. When I called him, he could not lift his head, but he turned a little and gazed up at me out of his piteous and terror-stricken eyes. I have never seen anything quite so hopeless. The groom told me that if his legs gave way and he lay down, he would surely die. He had neither eaten or drunk for about 24 hours. I sent the groom to bring back the veterinarian surgeon and asked the latter to fetch some broad, strong straps that we might put them under the pony and so help to support him. I could have cried. But I went out of the stable to where Eleanor and Elizabeth were standing in silence and grief and said to them, "The pony is dying, I fear. Pray quickly to the little flower." I recited some Hail Marys and went in again to the little creature. "Never mind, dear old boy," I said, "you are not dead yet." I had literally to lift his head up and support his neck on my shoulder. I shall never forget the look of love that he gave me. I kept saying Hail Marys to the little flower, and I made the sign of the cross 3 times in the name of the Blessed Trinity on his face. He lifted up his neck from my shoulder, and walked 2 or 3 steps and held up his head completely changed. I called to Eleanor to run and get a bit of sugar to see if I could tempt him to eat it. There was a pail of water for him in the corner and some ground barley in his box. Before Eleanor got back with the sugar, he had walked over to his pail and taken a long drink, and then walked back to his box and began to eat his food. This is the exact truth. He was eating and drinking in less than 5 minutes from the moment that I entered the stable, and in less than 1 since I prayed to the little flower. When the veterinarian surgeon and the groom returned with the big leathern belts, they could not believe the evidence of their own eyes. While coming back, they had been discussing what my judgment would be as to putting the poor little creature out of his misery. So hopeless was the case, and so sure were they he was going to die. "He is alive today, merry and beloved, but he cannot do any carriage work. He can only run about the lanes with the children riding on him." A fire extinguished. Hotel de l'Hermitage, Les Vorons, France, August 1, 1911. This morning about 1 o'clock a fire broke out in a small chalet belonging to the hotel where I usually pass the summer, and, as it was composed entirely of wood, the whole building was in flames in an instant. The larger hotel, 2 or 3 yards away, is surrounded by a wooden balcony. It also caught fire. The roof began to burn, and we had only a few jugs of water with which to extinguish the flames. To make matters worse, a fir tree close by became enkindled, thus endangering the whole forest, and the exceptional dryness of the place accentuated the peril. At this moment, I threw into the flames a picture of Sister Thérèse, with a little piece of her clothing attached to it. Instantly, the fir tree stopped burning of itself, and the sparks, which were literally raining down on the hotel, ceased falling and were raised into the shape of a dome over the roof. And thus the terrible danger was averted. In the opinion of the residents at the hotel, about 40 in all, it was a real miracle, and many, who did not even know that we had invoked Sister Thérèse, testified afterwards to the watchful care of divine providence. As for me, from the moment I threw the picture into the flames, I had not the least doubt but that that little saint of Lisieux would assist us with her powerful intercession. A gift of money. Editor's remarks. Countless stories are told of the little flower's influence in matters financial. The Chancellor of a diocese in Great Britain has acknowledged a favor of this kind in the Catholic press. A bishop has testified to such favors before the Tribunal for the Beatification. The following gracious First Communion story is confirmed by the husband of the narrator, and the reliability of both has been emphatically attested by their parish priest in Dublin. Last November, I was in great difficulties. My little boy was to make his First Communion, and I had no money to buy him new clothes. We had only a half crown in the house, and this was wanted for necessities. Shortly before, I had heard of the Little Flower of Jesus and of her numerous miracles. I was especially interested in the miracle of the money found in the cash box at Gallipoli, and I wished the Little Flower would renew it in my favor. The thought pursued me, and I told my husband of it. A sovereign would be enough, I said to myself. For some days, I had a strong feeling that the Little Flower was not far away. At times, I almost expected to see her, especially towards nightfall. On the evening of November 22nd, the first day of the retreat, at the end of which my boy was to make his First Communion, I went to our writing desk to get the half crown. The drawer was locked, and I had the key in my pocket. I unlocked it, and instead of picking up the coin at once, something induced me to feel by the side of it. My finger touched another coin, and I took out a sovereign. So great was my amazement that I could not believe what I saw. I took the coin to my husband and my father, who had just come in, to ask them if my eyes deceived me. The occurrence, from a natural point of view, admits of no explanation. It might be urged that my husband or I had put the coin aside and then forgotten it. This is quite impossible. Our poverty would not allow us to lay by such a sum without remembering it, or to lose it without noticing.